The architect for Westminster Cathedral, which is the mother church of England and Wales, was a Victorian gentleman who tried to make something that looked slightly oriental. Is there a reason for that?
John Francis Bentley, the architect, wanted to produce a very distinctive building, and he didn't want to enter into competition with either Westminster Abbey or St Paul's, which are the two great Anglican churches in London, to invite comparison, but just to do something really completely different. So he was encouraged to explore the Byzantine style, and he travelled quite a lot around Italy. He went to Venice and saw St Mark's, and he went to Milan and saw Sant'Ambrogio and other basilicas there, and he went to Ravenna. And so he based this great church on the style of the Byzantine basilicas that he'd seen in Italy. And indeed, if you go to Venice in particular, you can see sometimes when you look at St Mark's, there are things about it that remind you of Westminster Cathedral, especially some of the lovely mosaics.
But there's a reason for this, no? He wanted to go back to the ancient church, or he was asked to by Cardinal Vaughan.
Yes, well, certainly it does establish roots with the very beginnings of Christianity, with the first millennium, but there were practical reasons as well, because it was possible to build this church much more quickly than it would have been otherwise. It took just 8 years to build. The foundation stone was laid in 1895, and it was open for worship in 1903. So that was a remarkably short time, and apparently they tell me that the Byzantine style of architecture that he had used was one which would make that possible, the completion of the building in a relatively short time.
I know you worked there for a long time.
Oh yes, I lived and worked there for 6 years.
You can tell us why afterwards. But there are lots of mosaics, marbles, 126 different marbles from over 24 countries, so it was a major enterprise. Can you tell when you walk in?
Oh, yes, you can tell that there's lots of marble and lots of different styles that have gone into the decoration. There wasn't actually very much decoration when it opened in 1903. It was just really a very bare shell. And there are one or two very, very early photographs where you can see that it was just very, very plain, very dark inside. But the decoration has been added in the course of the last 100 years or so. And yes, there are quite a lot of different kinds of marble, and Bentley had left some instructions about certain kinds of quarries that he'd discovered in Italy. He wanted marble to be used from those, but the decoration continued long after his death. Unfortunately, he died almost as soon as the cathedral was opened, so although he did live to see it finished, he didn't live to see it used very much.
Now, I said earlier that your name was linked to the Westminster Cathedral for a while before coming to Rome and working in the Vatican. I'm convinced it's something to do with music, is that right?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Well, we know that Westminster Cathedral Choir is renowned for its excellence, so...
Yes, we're very, very fortunate at the cathedral to have a professional choir with daily choral services and a choir school so that the boys, the cathedral choristers, actually live on site and they can be trained up and they rehearse every morning and then they have a full school day and then they sing Mass and Vespers. So they're pretty worn out by the end of the day, but they work very, very hard and they sing magnificently. I was ordained in Westminster Cathedral, and then it was my first appointment, so it's as if I never really moved away until Cardinal Hume, just before his death, sent me here to Rome. So that was the first 6 years of my priesthood that I spent there.
Do you get the feeling that it's the Mother Church of England and Wales?
Well, of course, technically, it's the Mother Church of the Diocese of Westminster, and the diocese has its own cathedral, which is the Mother Church for them. But in our country, we always tend to look to London as the great headquarters of everything, and it's also true that the Catholic community, I think at large, does tend to look at the cathedral in the centre of London, which is so big and so magnificent and has this wonderful tradition, as a kind of a national church. And it's true that a great many events take place. There are a great many national celebrations. If a religious order is celebrating 500 years of its foundation, that they tend to ask if they can celebrate in Westminster Cathedral. And that was really a lot of what my work was to do with, because these special events, these special services that take place very, very frequently, I had to organise those. I had to be the kind of contact person for the visiting group and the liaison person between the clergy and the musicians and tie all those things together. I was a kind of liturgical impresario.
It would have been fun to have the Pope come then for the Mass, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, my successor, I know, is has got his work cut out for the visit of the Holy Father, but yes, I'm sure he feels it's a great privilege to be involved in organising and planning that occasion. When I was there, we had a visit from the Queen, so that was one of the biggest events.
It was in 1995 for centenary celebrations, is that right?
That's right, yes. It was a whole year of celebration of the centenary of the laying of the foundation stone, 1895. And towards the end of that year, on St. Andrew's Day, the Queen came to Vespers. So that was one of the very big events of that year.
Because it marked the first visit of a sovereign to a Roman Catholic liturgy.
That's right, in her own realm. She had been to a flower festival in the cathedral on her Jubilee year, but that was, I think, the only other time she'd ever set foot inside it. And, of course, she grew up almost within its shadow, just around the corner. So it's one of the many.
Well, it's close to Westminster Abbey.
It is close to Westminster Abbey, it's close to Buckingham Palace, but it's one of the great tragedies of our divided church that something like that can happen, that she had never had an opportunity on an appropriate occasion to visit until her Jubilee for a flower festival and then finally for the liturgy in 1995.
But of course music is something that links us, and there were some very famous musicians who conducted there in the church, in the cathedral. Like Edward Elgar, I read.
Yes, well, the cathedral, as I mentioned, opened in 1903, and the first London performance of Elgar's Dream of Gerontius took place in the cathedral in that very year, 1903. So they come from almost exactly the same time, that wonderful oratorio, with the text, of course, by Cardinal Newman, who's going to be beatified during the Holy Father's visit to Britain. So lots of interconnections there. Westminster Abbey, they'd had Henry Purcell and others, and he's one of the many composers buried there. We don't have many who've actually worked as cathedral organists who are yet quite as famous as that, but we've had some very distinguished organists over the years. Sir Richard Terry, the first Master of Music, very, very distinguished man, and then subsequently we had George Malcolm after the Second World War, and it was he who commissioned Benjamin Britten to write the Missa Brevis for the cathedral. All sorts of very big names associated musically with the tradition of the cathedral over the years.
Is there something you would have chosen for the Pope's visit if you could have done so, in terms of music?
Well, there are some wonderful settings of Ecce Sacerdos Magnus. I don't know whether they're going to be singing them. I think some music has been written specially for the visit, and that will, of course, be very, very special. We had some music written by James McMillan when Archbishop Vincent Nichols was installed as Archbishop of Westminster, and that was quite magnificent. So this has been very much part of the cathedral's musical tradition to commission music for special occasions, and then sometimes the music enters into the repertoire and it is performed in many other places too.